Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacket. He talks about Matt almost with awe. Herbert launches downfield. It's Johnson in stride. Touchdown, Chargers. 60 yards. Justin Herbert just flicks it, and afterwards.
Chris Fowler there on the call. Justin Herbert.
The Chargers are calling a passing game. I don't know what's going on right now.
It's early. I kind of like the shout for him to maybe be early MVP favorite, one of them, because of that feeling around. They're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to, they're throwing. Oh, they're winning. Chiefs are 0-2, might win the division.
I don't understand.
Keep an eye on the Chargers, baby. Keep an eye on the Chargers.
I don't understand what's going on.
Keep an eye on the Chargers.
Remember how we said the Mirage and Oasis?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've now likened it to painting the accurate picture. What is the Chargers' picture? That's going to be something I'm very interested in going forward.
We'll also see on that as well, Khalil Mack getting images done on his elbow. That injury, I did not see that one live, saw it this morning. An arm is not supposed to bend that way, and that would be a massive blow for them. And also, Khalil Mack as well, for his career, it is getting towards the end for him. He's been able to put up very good numbers here at the end of his career with the Chargers. That would be an injury, though. You do wonder how much longer he's got in his NFL career. It is 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, and with that, our top five primetime performers. It's been a good week, Derek. It's been a very, very good week. A lot of performances.
It was
a lot of good ones. Hard to come up with this list.
Too good of a week, even. We said we had problems last week.
This week was very, very good. With that, we'll go to the guys that just missed out. Just missed. For me to start, this one was painful. In some ways, I had to come back to it.
Right.
Wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase for the Bengals.
14, he's on your flowers.
He's on my flowers. 14 for 165 and a touchdown. It was a great week for wide receivers. Genuinely a great week for wide receivers. I think what almost made me forget about Ja'Marr Chase's performance, Jake Browning was the quarterback. And Browning, look, they're going to have to ride whatever he's got for the next however many weeks. I mean, 3 months, Joe Burrow's going to be out. The Jaguars lost that game. The Bengals not win that. Jake Browning throws 3 picks, and the Jaguars lose that game. That is a tough look right there.
The first player I'm giving my flowers to on the other side of the football, I'm going with 39-year-old defensive tackle Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
He had 2 sacks.
Ageless wonder, baby.
Ageless wonder. The man has had himself an incredible career. He's a Hall of Famer in my book, and I hope that he gets into Canton because he's had such a long career, a long productive career, and he already now, in week 2, gets 2 sacks on this season, his age 39 season. Calais Campbell, keeping it going, bringing the boom, helping the Cardinals.
Next honorable mention for me, quarterback Russell Wilson. A wonderful day. If you watched any of that Giants-Cowboys game, it was an offensive fireworks show. It was great. Wilson's deep ball was back over 400 yards. 3 touchdouns, including a game-tying one. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Problem was an awful pick in overtime that ultimately does see his team lose that game against Dallas. I wanted to get Wilson on this, but there were so many great performances. That one pick is gonna dock it. It just is. They lose the game because of that.
Similarly, same game, different player, Malik Nabers on my give him flowers list because of the fact that it's being shown that Kyrie Elam is giving up the most yards in the NFL right now. This typically seems like a cowboy stat too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But who's covering neighbors on what should have been the game-winning touchdown?
Yep. Yep. Not good. Not good.
But there was also so many amazing things that happened that somebody has to get bumped on the list. And one of those players for me is Malik Nabers.
Next up for me, sticking with that game, kicker Brandon Aubrey for the Cowboys.
I have Aubrey as well.
I have a tough time putting a kicker on the top five performances. I have no issue putting them on the honorable mentions. 4 for 4, including the kick to force overtime.
60-yard bomb.
And the kick to win the game in overtime, both of them at the death. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. He's like automatic. Me and Mike Shope were talking during one of the breaks in postgame as that game was wrapping up. We both got to a point of like, I think you just let Aubrey kick it. Like, just run it, set up the spot, and let him kick it. That's exactly what the Cowboys did. Surefire. Loved it. It was great. Great drama at the end there.
Exactly. I do have one more player on the list here. Mm-hmm. Since you went into Aubrey in detail, I just wanted to throw in that he's on there. Joey Bosa. I would love to put a Bills defender on there after the week that they had against the Jets. Unfortunately, though, there was so much that happened. Bosa gets bumped down to the honorable mentions list here, but I'm going to give him his flowers. 2 forced fumbles. He has 3 already on the season. The next best is 1. Nobody else has 2 yet.
It's incredible. Last one for me is actually an entire unit. It's the Falcons defensive line. They had J.J. McCarthy in fits. We are now at a point, it's 1 good quarter through 2 games for J.J. McCarthy, and he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. 6 sacks on the day, including both their rookies getting a sack as well. The Falcons may have a pass rush, and that is exciting for Falcons fans. They have been hunting that down, it feels like, for 15 years.
And timing is everything. Because do we want to get into the top five?
Let's get into the top five. I'll start at 5, only because...
I was going to say I should continue on right now because number 5 is the Falcons defense.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so we're going to have a similar kind of MO here with
yes.
this. So you got the Falcons defense.
I've got the
5.
Entire defense as a whole here because of the fact that it was an unreal dominance of the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. You mentioned the pass rush. It is also something that needs to be mentioned here. The rookie safeties, Xavier Watson, Billy Bowman, who was on a visit with the Bills. I'm not mad. Each of them has an interception of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, that Falcons defense, they may have hit a home run there.
They also recover 2 fumbles. Mm-hmm. So 6 sacks, 2 picks, 2 fumble recoveries. Dominance. And you've got to give a shout-out to a defense that I do believe allowed the least amount of points in week 2. I thought the Bills would be able to keep it with the Jets there at 10. The Falcons went ahead and said, hold my beer.
So where I was going to go with this, at number 5 for me, because you had mentioned him on your honorable mentions, for me it is Joey Bosa.
Yep.
I think he has been everything the Bills have wanted. He gets 1 sack, 2 forced fumbles, 7 pressures as well. I think that all only comes in about 15 pass rushing snaps. He's looked like a revelation for the Bills. I've already seen a lot of people tweeting about how this is what the Bills wanted from Von Miller. You can even argue, too, to start both their Bills careers, Bosa's been better. Now, Von looked like this through his first half of his first year.
First 8 games.
But arguably, Bosa's looked better. You mentioned it, 3 forced fumbles in 2 games, 2 of them, though, against the Jets. And arguably, Bosa kind of destroys the Jets' offensive game plan almost single-handedly.
Right off the rip.
Yeah, right off the rip. Just an incredible performance for him. So, number 5 for me, Joey Bosa. Number 4, Derek?
Number 4, I'm going back to Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's not just about the stat line. It's not just about the performance. It's also about the statement. And for me, that's Jordan Love with the Green Bay Packers. 19 of 31, so it's not the most efficient of nights. 292 yards, 2 touchdowns. But it is also about the Washington Commanders were seen as this, you know, up-and-coming group, a team that should be seen as a threat for years to come. And the Packers, the question is, just how much of this hype is warranted? And right now, Love is the leader of this team. He is playing well, and they made a statement on Thursday night, and that statement is, yeah, those betting odds that increased with us going to the Super Bowl, they're warranted.
They're warranted.
They're warranted, and it is about a statement. And the Packers, with Jordan Love at the helm, look as capable as any to get through the NFC.
Number 4 for me is going to go much more with the situation that the guy was thrust into. You could also arguably give this kind of spot to his coach, but Mac Jones, Backup quarterback for the 49ers gets thrown into spot duty and arguably has his best game ever. 279 yards, 3 touchdowns, gets the win over New Orleans. He does this without Kittle. Kyle Juszczyk gets hurt. Brandon Ayuk hasn't even played a snap yet this year. And he looks great. Again, this easily could have been given to Kyle Shanahan, his head coach. There's always been arguments. I'm somebody that is a Brock Purdy hater that thinks a lot of this is due to the coaching. But you know what? Credit Mac Jones. We're going to get to see a lot more backup quarterbacks this week with all the injuries that have happened. I don't know if a single one is going to have a performance like Mac Jones had. Albeit against New Orleans, still gets the win, though. 49ers are 2-0, even with all of these injuries.
Got to take advantage of the situation when it is at hand there. Number three for me is James Cook. Bills had a quiet day rushing the football in week one. The Jets had given up only 53 yards in week one. What does James Cook do? Casually hits that 44-yard home run en route to 132 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. There's no concerns at that point.
That might be my favorite touchdown of his.
Oh, it was so...
That might be my favorite. It's recency bias. I get it, but I that was beautiful.
The slam dunk against Kansas City is still mine right now.
It's almost unfair because it's the situation that it's in,
the context that it's in, and the fact that it uses every modicum of effort that he has to get that ball across the plane is still something to be awed by. But yeah, no, James Cook, number three there on the primetime performers.
Number three for me, wide receiver for the Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is where, it was a hell of a week for wide receivers. I didn't even mention Brandon Ayuk had a 45-yard rush.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown. He also added 91 through the air. But for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9 for 115, 3 touchdowns in an embarrassing loss for the Bears. We'll get to more of that here with my number two pick as well. But Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to be the best slot receiver in football. He is an absolute machine. He is the best friend of Jared Goff. And I think also, like with that situation, like Ben Johnson, you know, he's really one of the main characters of the build-up to the Lions, and the Lions look dreadful against the Green Bay Packers. Now, through 2 weeks, we can kind of maybe look more to, hey, the Packers might just be that good. But the Lions' offense looked dreadful, and they stormed out in week two, 50-plus points, and Amon-Ra, major factor of that. Again, 9 for 115 and 3 touchdowns. He comes in at number three for me.
And that is a big deal because of the fact that, like, you see the plates are a little wobbly because the Lions lost both their coordinators. They look shaky against the Packers. And yeah, this might be more of a statement about the Packers now more than anything. Mm-hmm. Or it could be another statement about the Bears, which is not a good thing. Also, remember that god-awful preseason game between the Bills and the Bears?
Yeah, kind of don't matter anymore. You know, does
it never matters. And once again, the further points are proven on that sort of thing. Zach, you mentioned something about your number two hinting that it might be another Detroit Lion.
Yeah.
I have St. Brown off of my list, by the way. Oh. That's how crazy this week was. But number two for me is Jared Goff.
Yeah, so we both have the same number two, Jared Goff.
And we can elaborate a little bit more further on this one. Like, 3 touchdowns to St. Brown, but that's 3 of 5 for Jared Goff. 334 yards as the Lions get back on their groove. Again, that was needed. That is kind of an antidote that you needed to see happen because of the fact that if you do not make a statement, have a rebound after the Green Bay game, there's a lot of questions suddenly about Dan Campbell and the Lions. Well, for now, you can put those questions to bed. Why? Dominant performance, and it starts with Goff.
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, you know, another kind of NFC team I can look at and kind of just, you know, wide-eyed, be like, oh, that's so cool for them. Like, the whole thing. I'm really glad that it wasn't, you know, the coordinator early. The coordinators leaving didn't cause this all to collapse in on itself. Goff looked wonderful. And the Bears, I mean, the early signs there are not good at all with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, the relationship there, what they've got cooking, where Goff continues to really have a wonderful second act of his career, is traded to the Lions ultimately because the Rams don't think he's the guy. The Rams do win a Super Bowl that first year with the guy.
Almost proving the point, even.
Almost proving the point. And instead of Goff kind of wallowing and kind of disappearing into the ether, because he, of course, goes to the Lions, he instead arguably is maybe their best quarterback they've had in 40 years.
And not even that, also lifting the Lions.
Yeah.
Into heights that they didn't see with Stafford.
Yeah.
Who was their best quarterback draft pick and a player that's still very regaled within Lions fans and the fandom.
And that's why, and I'm a big Stafford guy, still am. But it's the heights that Goff has taken them to. I think there's a real argument. Goff already maybe better than Lion Stafford.
As a Lion, yeah, it is Jared Goff at this point. And good for him on this one. So it's number one time. And this is just how crazy it all got. You had mentioned Ja'Marr Chase already. I had not.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow goes down with injury. And this stops nothing with Ja'Marr Chase. 14 catches, 165 yards, and a touchdown. And they needed every bit of it.
He does it on 16 targets, too, by the way.
And it's efficient.
Yeah.
But he has fed the football because Jake Browning knows the assignment. Ja'Marr Chase is really good. Give him the football.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll see what happens with Cincinnati. They are, despite everything, 2-0. And, man, they don't ask how, they ask how many. But the how is very interesting. You almost choke against Cleveland. And instead, Cleveland out-duels you in that battle. Twice.
Going to be a battle of backup quarterbacks, by the way, next week. Carson Wentz versus Jake Browning.
And now you have Jake Browning for a large portion of your season again. The last time this happened, Browning was scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
He kept the Bengals in a playoff conversation until the final week. They were eliminated in week 17. But Jake Browning played well. Now he needs to do it again in order for Joe Burrow's return to be to a playoff contending team. The good news for the Bengals this time around, Jake Browning's not playing behind the eight ball. They have a 2-0 team leading the AFC North.
They've got a cushion, absolutely.
And Ja'Marr Chase is the biggest reason for that, though. My number one primetime player this week.
For me, I had to go back to the Dallas Giants game. I had to get somebody on this because it look, to be perfectly honest, it gave last week's Sunday Night Football a run for its money of Game of the Year. It goes to overtime. There's huge plays right at the end, the whole thing. Couldn't do it for Russ just because of the pick in overtime. I think Russ really could have had an argument for not just being, you know, an honorable mention, but honestly being like one or two on this list if it weren't for that. But on that, I go with the other wide receiver for the Giants. It's not Wandell Robinson, who had himself a great game. And in part, it's also because of Ja'Marr Chase, why he's not on here. I go with Malik Nabers.
Nine LSU receivers
for 167 and two touchdowns. It's why Chase is off the list. He has the one touchdown. Wandell also only has the one touchdown, where Nabers has the game, should have been arguably the game winner. It's an incredible play. He just streaks down the field. He's got two Cowboys defenders on him, perfectly placed, and he's getting Elam, you know, grabbing at the face mask. It's an unbelievable catch. Nabers, I think, has already, two games into his second year, I think most people would argue he's the top five receiver in the sport. I can't believe the Giants have done it again. Odell Beckham Jr., and now they go back to the LSU pipeline with Malik Nabers. He is an otherworldly talent, 9 for 167 and two touchdowns. He's my number one for this week's top five primetime performers. Just, he's an incredible talent to watch.
It's kind of funny how inverse it is, and that's kind of the week that was.
Mm-hmm.
We have an LSU receiver as our number ones, but said LSU receiver is inverse and on the honorable mentions of the others.
Yeah.
But it just tells you how wild the week was that, yeah, we shared Brandon Aubrey on the list, and we shared Jared Goff at number two. But it is vastly different between the two of us there. The Falcons defense was close.
Yep.
It was honorable mention same versus with, number
same
five.
Bosa. Same with Bosa.
Same with Bosa. But it is. There's so much variance, though, from it that you have some fun with this. And that is what makes this segment great.
I wanted badly, when it was happening live, I wanted badly to pick one of the special teams from, like, Dolphins or Patriots. I can't do that when you both gave up a special teams touchdown.
I
was so excited. I was like, oh, yes, like I'm going to give it to a
special. I almost gave that sequence.
Sequence is a blast.
The sequence is a blast. That is a beautiful thing to watch. As a neutral fan, like, you don't give anyone flowers for it because one side on both teams got victimized, and it's the defending units. But, man, is that cool. You get a punt return touchdown, and then immediately on the following kickoff, it goes house.
That was great.
But what it looked like to me there.
Two bad teams playing each other, though.
But it's also something that we can circle back to on our main theme here today. It's also how Miami has just been allergic to taking control of a football game this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had the lead for 12 seconds. They had a lead at another point in that game, but like things started to look like it was going Miami's way. And then immediately, no. You're still in the fight for your life. And then Tua cannot come back. He throws an interception. They have another opportunity, and he takes a sack on fourth down. And the man, I don't even think he had 2 seconds. His lineman got beat so badly. It just, oof. And it goes, and this is where it all comes back to. Can you even trust Miami to win 4 games right now with the offensive line that's currently constructed?
Well, and it's a really good point on that, too. We haven't really been able to touch on their offensive line too much. It's been a lot of their defensive injuries, but Austin Jackson and James Daniels, both on IR, they're the guys on Tua's blind side. They're on the right side of the offensive line. And that's where you're also looking. I mean, I would not be surprised now, coming off the performance they just gave against the Jets, I would be very surprised if the Bills defense was not licking their chops, going, yeah, we can put some road behind us and that Ravens performance.
How many sacks do you think New England got on Sunday?
Oh, I actually don't know. Let's go with 4.
You're close.
5?
It's 5. Tua has been sacked 8 times already this year in 2 games. Mm. The Bills, fresh off of a 4-sack performance against the Jets, and Joey Bosa forcing fumbles at a hilarious rate right now, you think that ball's not getting punched out against Tua?
No, I don't like how this shakes out for the Dolphins at all.
No.
I really don't. For me, I look at where they're at, and I'm going, this cannot be good. This cannot be good for them.
A Bills defense that is getting home to the quarterback more, plus an offensive line that is just bad, and a quarterback that has already been turning the football over a bunch of times.
Yeah.
That is enough of a recipe to think this is going to be a disaster on Thursday night, and you and I are going to be here at like 1:30 a.m., sitting in these exact seats, going, yeah, that's exactly how we thought this was going to go. It could not. There's a real chance that, you know, things are different, but how do you go into Thursday night thinking that it's not going to be a potential disaster? That's the problem. Miami is just so bad. And even if the Bills weren't this good, it's how they play the Dolphins as of late. But the Bills are this good. And they stabilized any questions that we had about the defense on Sunday.
Yeah, stabilized is a perfect word for that. We don't know for sure, and they've got injuries. Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, even Teron Johnson, we don't know.
But they told a bad team that they were bad, and here comes another bad team. One that might actually objectively be worse.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more on this matchup. Bills do have practice later today, and we had our first injury report yesterday. Sal Capaccio will join the show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.